ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 42, Text 14. Tardarshana smarachobad Atmanam naviram striya Vishashta vasakavara Valaya lekya murtaya Tardarshana smarachobad Atmanam navidam striya Vishasta vasakavara Valaya lekya murtaya Tat Him Darshana Because of seeing Smara Due to the effects of Cupid Chobat by the agitation Atmanam themselves Naavidam could not recognize Sriya the women Vishasta disheveled Vasa their clothes Kavara the locks of their hair Valaya and their bangles Lekya as if drawn in a picture Murtaya their forms Translation The sight of Krishna aroused Cupid in the hearts of the city women Thus agitated they forgot themselves Their clothes, braids and bangles became disheveled And they stood as still as figures in a painting Purport. Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti states that since the women of Mathura immediately experienced symptoms of conjugal attraction when they saw Krishna, they were the most advanced devotees in the city. The ten effects of Cupid are described as follows: Chakshu Raga Pratamam Chitta Sangastatota Sankalpa Nidrachedas Tanuta Visha Nivritis. Tapa nashaha unmaru murcha mriti ityetas maradasa dasaivasyu. First comes attraction expressed through the eyes, then intense attachment in the mind, then determination, loss of sleep, becoming emaciated, disinterest in external things, shamelessness, madness, becoming stunned and deaf. These are the 10 stages of Cupid's effects. Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur also points out that devotees who possess pure love of Godhead generally do not exhibit the symptom of death, since this is inauspicious in relation to Krishna. They do, however, manifest the other 9 symptoms, culminating in becoming stunned in ecstasy. Tadarshana smarachobad Atmanam navidam striya Vishashta vasakavara Valaya lekya murtaya Sight of Krishna aroused Cupid in the hearts of the city women. Thus agitated, they forgot themselves. Their clothes, braids, and bangles became disheveled, and they stood as still as figures in a painting. So Krishna's entrance into Mathura. And we've been reading about the different personalities that he's been meeting as he's been walking with Balaram and the cowherd boys. His purpose, of course, was to kill Kamsa. Kamsa was a great asura, even from his previous birth. He was Kalanemi. He fought with Vishnu. Vishnu killed him, and then he again took birth as Kamsa. He imprisoned his own father, tried to kill Krishna. as a baby, killed all the children of the first children of the Devaki, the babies. Kamsa, he was a real asura. So we know, we were describing that Krishna comes, Paritrana Sadhanam, Minasa Yachibushkatam, Dharma Samstapanataya, Sambhava Mijugayuge, to give pleasure to the devotees and to punish the miscreants. Kamsa couldn't be subdued by anyone. Even Jarasandha, powerful king of Magadha, could not, or thought it best not to challenge Kamsa, because he was previously travelling around various kingdoms, conquering over various kings and usurping the kingdom, and one time he came to the Mathura area. He had with him one huge elephant that had taken this Kuvalya Pita. Was it this elephant? And had taken 100,000 men to subdue this one elephant or something like that. So he'd camped opposite the city of Mathura, and he was thinking about perhaps conquering over Mathura. Now, the elephant at night was tied up, chained up. That time, King Kamsa was having a big festival, had big marquees, and had all sorts of things going on, and had wrestling and various activities. One night, the elephant on the other side of the Yamuna broke free and ran amok, trampling so many soldiers of Jarasandha, just running everywhere. Ran over to the other side of the Yamuna, to Mathura, where King Kamsa had his festivities. Ran amok, trampling people. Come into the vicinity of Kamsa, and Kamsa, King Kamsa, he saw this elephant creating disturbance, became angry, ran over to the elephant, grabbed him and by the legs and threw him down, and then picked him up and swirled him around and threw him across the other side of the Yamuna, and the elephant landed right at the feet of Jarasandha. So Jarasandha, when he saw that, it had taken him like so much to capture this elephant, and here was Kamsa just throwing the elephant on the other side of it. So he thought, I better not pick a fight with Kamsa, he is too powerful, let me make an alliance with him. And it was at that time he offered his daughters in marriage to Kamsa. He went to see Kamsa, and he wanted to make an alliance, and as a gesture he offered his daughters Asti and Prapti, and that way Jarasandha became the father-in-law of Kamsa. Instead of trying to fight with him, he became the father-in-law. But Kamsa was so powerful that even Jarasandha didn't want to fight with him, and he was a great asura, of course. Now Krishna had come to especially kill Kamsa, and along the way we read the washerman was very offensive, and just by the touching of Krishna's fingers he separated the washerman's head from his body. But the others, like the weaver and the florist Sudama, were very nice devotees. We just read about Kubja. She was very attracted to Krishna, also in a conjugal way. Now we're reading about the other women of Mathura. They're very attracted to Krishna. Here it is said by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they are considered to be the most advanced devotees in the city of Mathura, because their attraction to Krishna was in Madhurya Ras, in conjugal. Little different from the Madhurya Ras of the gopis in Vrindavan, that is even more intimate in the simple feeling of Brajdham, especially Radharani and Krishna. That is Vipralamba, that is another level of a conjugal, more intimate, more intense, more sweet even still. But still, in Mathura, these women, the city women of Mathura, and of course the queens of Krishna and Dwarka, all of course have conjugal, Madhurya Leela, Rasa. And one is, of course in Dwarka Dham it is Svakya Rasa, married queens of Krishna. And whereas in Vrindavan, and Parikya Rasa. Of course, at this time Krishna was not married or anything like that, so these women were very, very attracted. And Krishna was so, we were describing the other morning that Krishna is so attractive. The name Krishna means attractive. his other name is Madana. Madana means he can attract. Madana Mohana, he can attract even Cupid. He is the attractor of Cupid. Of course, Radharani, she is known as Madana Mohana Mohini. She can attract even the attractor of Cupid. This is her name for Srimati Radharani. So he is so wonderful in all ways. His beauty and his all his opulences, his renunciation, his wealth, his strength, his fame, his just, and for the women of Mathura, they were just mesmerized. They were actually, it mentioned here that they were, when they saw Krishna, they became stunned, and they stood still like figures in a painting. They were just looking at him. And here it is said that the effects of Cupid are like that. One of the effects is becoming stunned. Yeah. Now, there is a Cupid of the material world. He is a demigod, Kamadev. He is a demigod under Indra. He lives in the court of Indra. And we know that many times Indra uses Kamadev to entice both men and women, especially men who are, we know Indra has used Kamadev many times before. I was just reading one story of one sage who was practicing extreme meditation and tapasya. And he was in trance, and Lord Indra, he was becoming very powerful. Lord Indra became very worried. Oh, he's becoming so. Actually, this particular sage, Lord Brahma used to go and take darshan of him and hear transcendent knowledge from him. And so Indra became worried, oh, Lord Brahma's going there taking darshan and he's becoming so powerful. Maybe Lord Brahma's going to give him my position. Maybe he'll make him Indra. So he became worried, so he called for Kamadev, called for some apsaras who went dancing in front of this sage, dancing very provocatively, trying to break his vow, break his meditation. This sage felt their presence even in his meditation, and up in his eyes he saw all the effects of Cupid in there. He became angry. He cursed those two girls. Said, you are trying to do this? Because they became very afraid. Said, oh, they came and paid their obeisances before that sage, touched his feet. Oh, we are just the servants of Indra. Please don't punish us. We are just following his orders. So then he became very merciful. Oh, I cannot retract the curse now. I've already pronounced it. But when you will take birth as bale fruit trees near Varanasi. But when a great devotee by the name of Bharat comes there, you will be liberated. And you will become, in your next life, devotees of Krishna. So they took birth as bale fruit trees. And there was one sage who was living in Varanasi by the name of Bharat. He was a great devotee. He used to go to the Vishwanath temple, and he used to go to all the temples there. And he used to always chanting the holy name of the Lord, hearing Bhagavad Gita, so many other shastras. He was a very, very great devotee. One time he wanted to go on pilgrimage to that place. They took fruit, birth of bale fruit trees in one holy place near Varanasi. He just happened to want to go there. He went there, and at night he rested under those trees. His head was on the root of one of the bale fruit trees, and his feet were resting on the roots of the other bale fruit tree. So then in the morning he got up, he left. In a few days those trees dried up, and those previously upsara, the living entities, took birth again in a Brahmana family, Brahmana Vaishnava family in Varanasi, took birth as girls. The daughters of Brahmana Vaishnava. And they were going with their father and mother in the city. They had the benediction from that sage previously. They could remember their previous births. And when they were walking with their parents, as little girls, about 7 years old, they were walking and they saw the sage Bharat. And they came up and they paid their obeisance, touched his feet. Oh, we wanted to come and take your darshan and blessings. You saved us from our former birth as trees. And Bharat was very surprised. Oh, how is this? Tell me how you took birth as trees, who you were previously. So they told the whole story. We were apsara, we were sent by Indra. And we could have the benediction to remember. We are waiting for you to come, and we will be liberated. And now we have reached the perfection. We have taken birth as the daughters of Brahmana Vaishnavas. And now we have lost interest in all other things. We are just interested in being Krishna Bhaktas. And because you came there, you liberated us. Because you were doing the kirtan, reading the Bhagavad Gita, we are very much indebted to you. So Bharat was very surprised. So he further increased his kirtan, reading of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, these things, going to the temple, taking darshan of the Lord. So those girls, of course, became great devotees and attained liberation from this material world. And Bharat, at the end of his life, he got a special place with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So quite often there's many stories like that of Kamadev coming or being sent by Indra with apsaras. We know Naranarayan, there's another story, many stories. So Kamadev in this world is the demigod and Indra, but there is a transcendental Kamadev. He is the form of Pradyumna in the spiritual world, and Pradyumna in this world, when Pradyumna comes in Krishna Leela in this world, he is the Kamadev. And it's said that the demigod Kamadev, who was one time burnt to ashes when he tried to throw his arrows against Lord Shiva, he tried to make Lord Shiva fall down from his meditation. He threw his arrows against Shiva. You have like that in the... Where is that? In the Christianity or something where you have that... Who is that angel that's got the arrows? Is that in Christianity or what is it? They have an arrow, like an angel with arrows, firing the arrows. So the sim... Huh? What?
From Greek.
Oh, Greek. Oh, Greek. Okay, well, Greek mythology is like... Okay, that's where it's from. So the Greek is that they have the devas and everything. They have different names for the devas. Zeus or something like that. All the different names, right? Zeus is the equivalent of Indra, right? He is the king of heaven. So in the Greek, they say in mythology, the Greek, ancient Greek teachings, you had like the devas. So in the Greek, you had that figure of the Cupid with his arrow. There is a demigod like that. And he has his arrows. Has all different types of arrows that intensify the sense of touch and sight and awaken their senses and awaken them for enjoyment in the world and lusty desires. And he throws his arrow. When he has one arrow, it goes straight to your heart. Finished. Generally, in the material world, when you get the arrow of Cupid going in your heart, that's it, it's all over. You are just infatuated, become infatuated with, you know, generally it's, well, generally the opposite sex, the man for the woman, woman for the man, fire the arrow. He comes, and very strong, Kamadeva. Indra uses Kamadeva. He's a very powerful demigod. And he has all sorts of facilities at his disposal. So, but anyway, Krishna is the transcendental Cupid, and specifically in Pradyumna, but Madana Mohana, Krishna, he is the attractor of everyone. He is the attractor of Cupid. So, if the ordinary demigod can attract so many by his ordinary arrows, then what to speak of Krishna? What chance, actually, did these women have when they saw Krishna? They had no chance. He is so beautiful. There is one, isn't it, Rupa Goswami says, if you want to keep enjoying in the material world, then don't look at the form of Krishna. He is so beautiful. Don't look, because... But when you see Krishna, and every... you know, when Krishna comes to the world, his form is not material. Totally spiritual. And every part of the form of Krishna is perfect. His eyes are perfect. His nose is perfect. Lips are perfect. Teeth are perfect. Face, chest and arms, and hands, and legs, and everything. Every part perfect. Very beautiful. One of the... opulences of Krishna is his beauty. We have Madhurya Aishwarya and Leela Aishwarya and like that, different opulences that Krishna has. Now Krishna himself has even over and above Vishnu and so on. Prema Aishwarya, love. His love, Krishna's love is the highest of all. Krishna's love for his devotees, especially the love between Radha and Krishna, that is the highest, most sweet. So, the ladies of Mathura were in this stunned. Now, one generally when one is affected by Cupid in this world, first of all, the attraction for enjoying in the world comes through the eyes. When one is smitten. One is smitten by the opposite sex. The attraction is through the eyes. And then, you become so infatuated. Perhaps there's loss of sleep. You can't sleep so well. And you become emaciated, can't even eat. Can't eat, can't sleep, right? Disinterested in other things, just thinking of that girl or that boy, non-stop, 24 hours a day, isn't it? So these are the symptoms of Cupid. If you're like that, you've had the arrow of Cupid. So through your eyes, and then and next actually he said, then your mind is contemplating and become attached in your mind, through your eyes, and then you're in your mind, and then from the mind there's a determination to go in the direction of enjoying like that. And then when you have that determination, you think about it all the time. You see it, you think about it, determined to enjoy it. And because of that determination, you lose your sleep. You can't eat. You're not interested in anything else, but just that thing. quite funny when you're not in it. Just interested in that thing, you know, just that girl, that boy, that particular one. Prabhupada says quite humorously that in the world there are millions of girls, billions of them, and billions of boys. But when you're smitten, you want that one. Why that one? Why not so many others? No, this one. Can't think of anyone else. Just this one. Why not this one? No, this one. That means the arrow of Cupid has gone deep inside. So sometimes it's the case that in my position, I've had to speak to devotees over the years. Someone wants to marry this one or marry that one. Maybe the other party is not interested. I'd like to marry her, I'd like to marry her. Well, no, they're not, they're not thinking of getting married, or no, they don't want, either some reason or other. And I say, well, what about, you marry someone else, perhaps think about some other lady or some other man. No, this one. So that means the arrow of Cupid's gone deep. So much talking you can do, but no, there has to be this. The Prabhupada said it's an amazing thing, the power of it, that there are millions and billions of other ladies, millions and billions of other men, but no, this one has to be. Cannot be any other one. And so all these symptoms are there. Sometimes it seems, it becomes so intense. And I've seen this personally, actually. Can't sleep, can't eat, lose weight. I'm emaciated. Sometimes shameless. Also, here's called shamelessness. Just do things you wouldn't normally do. To try to woo the opposite party. Become mad. Madness. Become mad in that. And then you become just stunned. And sometimes it can even lead to death. But here, of course, Viranana Maharshi says that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that all these symptoms also can be there in the transcendental situation of being attracted to Krishna, except for death, because the death stops you thinking of Krishna. So there's no death in this position, in the transcendental position of being attracted to Krishna. But all the others, and here he says that those who possess love of Godhead generally do not exhibit the symptom of death. Sometimes it can be like that. So generally, there may be exceptions to that, but generally do not exhibit the symptom of death, since this is inauspicious in relation to Krishna. They do, however, manifest the other nine symptoms, culminating in becoming stunned in ecstasy. we become so attracted to the things of the world. If only we had the same attraction for Krishna, just like we know the story of the Dhruvamangala Thakur from South India, grew up in a strict Brahmin family, married to a very nice wife. Nice family, nice situation, but became very attracted to Chintami, and she was a prostitute, very beautiful prostitute. Became so attracted, he gave up his wife, gave up his family, gave up everything, and just became overwhelmed and obsessed. He was obsessed with Chintami. Became obsessed, and the story is one. One night he was going to meet with Chintamani, and she lived in another place. And even on that occasion, he was observing a Shraddha ceremony for his departed ancestors, and he was observing, but he was telling the priest to hurry up. The story's quite... Hurry up, I have to go somewhere else. And of course he wanted to go and see Chintamani. But even he was doing like that. He was telling them to hurry up, and then, but the night was a very stormy night, storm was there pouring down and the river was flowing fast. Still, wasn't it? He swam across the river. She lived on the other side of the river. Lightning, wind, rain, flowing fast river. How, he didn't know. There was no boatman. The river was going too fast. No boat. How to get across? He saw one corpse. He saw a corpse floating down the river. So he just grabbed onto the corpse and then used the corpse to float across the other side of the river. And he got on the other side. This is a kind of madness. Madness. Anyway, he'll do anything. Huh? So then he grabbed a hold of the corpse and went across the other side of the river. Got there. And then he got to, and it was raining, and he had to go through the jungle, and he was all kind of cardy. He sustained some injury. And then when he got to Chintamani, it was all locked up. And there was so much thunder and rain, and he was calling out, and she didn't hear if he was inside. She didn't hear him. So there was a big wall. So he had to climb. He decided to climb up the wall. Climbed up this big high wall. When he got to the top, he slipped and he fell down. He fell down very hard on the other side. And he was just lying there. And he really injured himself quite badly. So then, sometime later, she just happened to look out and saw him there. And she brought him and, she said to him, you've come across what? You've come across tonight. It's so crazy. She was getting on his case. you came across tonight. Look, there's a storm out there and a raging river, and still you came across. What's going on? That I had to come and see you. And she was just shaking. And if you got so attraction to me, she was a bit of a bhakti actually. She said, if you had the same attraction to the Supreme Lord Krishna, you would be going back home, back to Godhead. If you had the same attraction you have for me to Krishna. And Prabhupada explains that this was when she said that. She was, even though she was like a prostitute, she was a type of a guru for him. When she said that, something within him awoke. It was like a thunderbolt realization. You just had that same amount of attraction for Krishna as you have for me, then you would be a liberated person in this world. So then, as soon as she said that, he just went like, whoa, just hit him. And then from that point, he said, you're right. And he actually decided that's it. And he left. Decided to travel. He left that situation. Decided to be detached from everything. He went traveling. He wanted to go to Vrindavan, and he went traveling. But along the way, wasn't it? Along the way, he became attracted to another woman. Along the way, wasn't it? So he began following her. Was it? Yeah, she was a Brahmana's wife. He's a married lady, and he became attracted. He followed her home, and then she told her husband. And the Brahmin, he was such a broad-minded Brahmin of man. He could see this man was also a very high sort of fellow. And he invited him in. And he said, well, I can understand that you want to enjoy with my wife. And he said, if you want to so attach to that, then all right. And then when he said that, he had another shockwave realization. And he said to the Brahmana's wife, Mataji, can I have your hairpins? And she said, all right. She didn't know why. She gave him the hairpins. And with the hairpins, he took out his eyes. These eyes are the cause of my trouble. Especially for a man. Don't mind, ladies. I'm just talking to the men here. Especially for a man. The sense of sight is very strong. The ladies, don't mind me talking to the ladies. The ladies is touch. So men it's sight. So seeing eyes, men want to see a beautiful woman. Women is more touching. They become very agitated. Men by seeing all the senses, but predominantly in this way. So he thought like that. So my problem is my eyes. So he took it. And he just went blind. Well, he got to Vrindavan. And then there's a whole... Then, he lived for a long time. That was it? Like 700, 800? There's a place in Vrindavan you can go and visit the the place of Bilba Mangala Thakur, where he actually was living in Vrindavan. What's that place called? Bilba Mangala Thakur. You know, you can go and visit that place. And he lived in Vrindavan for 700 years. 700 years. He lived such a long time. He became very, very advanced, very, very detached. And in the end, Krishna came to him. And he had so many pastimes with Krishna. And you can read that story. But eventually, he became a very, very advanced devotee. But we see the effect. Even he was brought up, and he was quite a high family, Brahmin, South Indian Brahmin family. Still, and married, everything, had a nice situation, and it became attractive to Chintami. The effect of Cupid is so strong. Don't think that you're above being affected by Cupid. All of us. So the only way to overcome all that and remain fixed in the Krishna consciousness is to stay with a steady mind, thinking and meditating on Madan Mohan. And especially we pray to Madan Mohan Mohini, Srimati Radharani. If you can be the servant of the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani, then she can help you. She can help you overcome the effect of the Cupid in the material world. Now actually, we pray to Srimati Radharani. You're attracted to Srimati Radharani and Radha Krishna pastimes in the right way. Then this attraction, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains this. This attraction, if you're attracted in the right way, not like Sahaja, you're trying to enjoy, trying to imitate, but in the right way, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, this, and only this, will help you overcome the lusty desires and the effect of Cupid in the material world. So when we're feeling like that, think of Radha and Krishna pastimes. Think of those servants who serve the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And of course, the highest of all is Srimati Radharani herself. She is in the highest position of Parakya Rasa, Vipalamba. Her rasa with Krishna is the highest. So we aspire to be the servant of the servant of the servant of those who serve Srimati Radharani, who is the expert at serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Alright, I'll read this verse again if anyone has any question or comment. Tadarshana smara chobat atmanam navidan sriyat vishashta vasakavara valaya lekka murtaya. The sight of Krishna aroused Cupid in the hearts of the city women. Thus agitated, they forgot themselves. Their clothes, braids, and bangles became disheveled. They stood still as figures in a painting. Any question? Yes. Going by memory, I don't think it was Dorpiyu. Correct me if I'm wrong. Anyone know for sure? Sorry?
I thought he was about 300 years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
He was in this age. That's my understanding. He just lived a very extraordinary long life by the mercy of Krishna. Generally, I mean, no one has. Well, a lot of you read about yogis, but they, you know, they can live a very long life. But Bilba Mangala Thakur lived a very, very long life, and even in this age where the people don't live such long life. In the former ages, they lived like that. That's normally. But he was not a normal personality. He lived a very long life in Vrindavan.
Is that Krishna used to come and give him milk every day?
Sorry?
Krishna is that young
guy
who used to come and give him milk every day?
Yeah. There are different leelas you can read in regard to Bilba Mangala Thakur. I've got one book like that.
Was he the same guy from Sridhar Maharaj?
From?
Sridhar
Maharaj. I'm not sure about that. I'd have to look that up. Which something I am. Yes,
Maharaj, what about the affection between Mother Subhadra?
What about the affection?
Attraction between Arjuna and Mother Subhadra. When Krishna wants everything can Prabhupada describes in Krishna Mukha.
Yeah.
How much he was attracted to Arjuna. And Balaram ji wanted to marry Subhadra to Duryodhana.
Yeah.
But Krishna intervened, no.
Yeah, oh, exactly, yeah. So if Krishna wants, he can do everything. Yeah, Arjuna and Subhadra.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Krishna wants everything. That's it. So Krishna wants you to, and is desiring that, and blessing you to be with this one or that one. Then, oh, that's very auspicious. No one can stop it, even if someone speaks against it. But if Krishna doesn't want, then it'll be very difficult to do that thing. Yes. No, you can't imitate the great Vaishnavas like that, and nor is it recommended. This is a separate vessel. I don't want to, in saying that story, I hope that no one's going to get the idea to pluck out your eyes with anything. Please don't do that. That's not the way. He did it. He's a special category. So sometimes we see devotees trying to imitate, right? Like, you know, there was that one devotee who went to Mayapur. I wanted to imitate Haridas Thakur. You know, he went, and first of all he was chanting in the hut, then he was living in a tree. He just wanted to chant. And the Prabhupada said, why doesn't he do something practical? Why is he trying to imitate? He will just be sleeping. He said, cannot do like that. Don't try to imitate the guy. You can follow in the footsteps. It means up to your ability. But, you know, trying to imitate when you just try to do exactly like they're doing. Don't jump up. Don't try to jump up like that. Don't try to imitate. Then you can go, you know, just try to imitate Krishna, try to imitate Radharani. Don't try to do like that. So Bill Mangala Thakur was a special devotee. Don't try to imitate by plucking out your eyes. Any other question?
Is it appropriate circumstances
that you're telling us when we have an ability to ask Krishna to cause us to do that? Sometimes I have the ability to do that. Yeah. I don't find the strength within myself. Krishna being the cause of all causes, is it appropriate to ask him to cause that to happen? You can pray to Krishna to help you and do something. And if he so desires, he may choose to help you or make some arrangement in that way. But the thing is, devotee's attitude is that we may have a desire or whatever we have, but we leave the decision on that in the hands of Krishna and his representatives. So we pray to Krishna, and Krishna may fulfill that desire, or he may think the better of it. Maybe not now, maybe later, maybe, you know, it might be best this devotee goes in another direction for a while, and then maybe later on. So you may pray, you may have a desire, but Krishna may think, well, maybe that's not so good for him at this point in time, you know, even your thinking. Or he may think, yeah, this is very good, this is desired very good. So Krishna may be inclined to facilitate that for you. It's always recommended to pray to Krishna to fulfill all desires, but just that, don't be attached to whether or not he's going to do that. You understand?
Yeah. Well, on that point, yeah. What the gentleman is saying, maybe Krishna wants us to surrender more,
mm-hmm.
more and more,
yeah.
to fulfill our desires. Mm-hmm. So that might be the end to purify us.
Yeah, maybe he wants to make an arrangement to draw you more closer and closer, higher and higher on the path. He has his master plan. Any other point, question? Jai Prabhupada ki.